The Bernie Mac Show starts its new season Wednesday. We're going to hear from the show's star, Bernie Mac, who plays a fictional version of himself. Both Bernie Macs are stand-up comics. The real Bernie Mac became well-known through the Russell Simmons Deaf Comedy Jam on HBO and Spike Lee's performance film, The Original Kings of Comedy. I spoke with him last year. You grew up on the south side of Chicago.
Yes, ma'am.
Describe where you grew up.
I was born on 66 and Blackstone, and that building was torn down because it was rat infested. We couldn't play outside because the rats used to be in the walls on the banisters. We stayed on the third floor, and my mom used to literally pick me up. I was 3 to 4 years old, and she would walk me 3 flights of stairs and kicking rats from my feet. The city tore the building down and moved us to 69th and Morgan. Well, that was a little bit better, supposedly, the Inglewood area in Chicago. And at 4 years old, that's when I, 4 to 5, decided I wanted to be a comedian because I walked in from playing and I saw my mother sitting in her favorite chair crying. And as a little kid, I saw her cry and I began to cry, like most kids often do. And I asked her why was she crying, and she told me nothing. At that particular time, Ed Sullivan was introducing Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby came out and he did a routine about rats and snakes in the bathroom. My mother began to laugh and cry at the same time. When I saw that, I started laughing with her. And I told my mom, I said, that's what I'm going to be, Mom. I'm going to be a comedian. So I'll never have to see you cry again. Because at that particular time, I thought comedians relieved my mother of her pain. And that's something that I always wanted to do.
So what were some of the jokes that went over real big when you were a boy?
I think none. I think that I was a struggling comic. But in my mind, I was successful. People said I was stupid. I was silly. They said I was buffoonish. I used to dress up, put on my mother wig, put on my grandmother slip coat. I used to dress up as a woman and portray as Bernice. That was one of the characters that I created as a young boy, was Bernice. And it wasn't about being a homosexual or anything like that. I was portraying a woman. And I used to talk like a woman, put on my grandmother's glasses, and I used to mimic, y'all better quit playing up in here. Everybody better go to bed. I'm sick and tired of all this mess. Lord, Lord, Lord. And that's how my grandma used to talk.
Now, when you were getting started, did you play different kinds of audiences, some black audiences, some white audiences, some integrated audiences?
I performed whatever there was people. I started on the L's of Chicago. In the 70s, I used to ride the L's and perform from 95th Street all the way downtown. I used to do the subways.
Wait. No, in New York subways have been almost like performance art, where every 5 minutes someone else is coming in and either doing some performance or asking for money or telling you that they're, you know, threatening you unless you give them money. But there's always something. So how would you do it? You just walk into a car and start doing your act?
No, I never walked to a car. No, I never did that. What I used to do was, during the rush hour, people go to work, I would get on the end of the L, and I would go, and I would always watch the news, and I would read the paper and see what was going on in the city, and I would get on, and people would first look at me like I was a bum until they got acquainted with me and they got familiar with me, and they said, oh, this guy, this is the L comedian. And I used to make people laugh, and I had a box, and people used to put money in the box. Then when I got to Lake Street, I should go way down in the subway, and as people be going back and forth, I would stand there, and I had this little microphone, little beatbox thing, and it was like my speaker, and I would tell jokes, and I would talk about current events, things that happened in the neighborhood, and plus I would do little characters and stuff that I had back then, and people would throw money in the box. I made $300 to $400 a day.
Wow, that's great.
But
it's probably more
happy
than some of the comedy cups played.
Yeah, but I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all because I felt like I was begging. I felt like a bum.
Right.
I wanted to be legitimized. In 1977, I went to the clubs.
Did you find that white audiences and black audiences reacted differently to your material or reacted differently in general?
Well, they act different in general because white audience come to be entertained. Black audience want to entertain you. And white audiences are more cordial, more respectful of the artist. And even if you're bad, I mean, you know, the audience has changed. I'm talking about the audience back then.
Mm-hmm.
The audience has changed all the way around the table now. But white audience was more cordial to you. Black audience, they just tell you like it is. If you suck, you suck. And they don't want to hear. You ain't getting nothing but 2 or 3 minutes. You come out the gate with that old sorry stuff, you're in a world of trouble.
Well, how would you get driven off the stage if you weren't working?
I refuse to get driven off the stage.
Okay.
When I died the death of a pilot, I stayed up there. And that was something I think that helped me to this day.
Bernie Mac recorded last year. The new season of The Bernie Mac Show premieres next Wednesday. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.